You're listening to the Sound of Football podcast, a ride on the football fairground.
We're going to turn our attention towards the small matter of who's going to be moving into the Olympic Stadium.
What do you read into the postponement of the decision?
I think possibly the reason why there's a delay, not just because it's political and they're trying to get a bit of breathing space, but possibly because somebody's probably handed over a big brown envelope stuffed full of cash and that they just need to count it first and make sure it's all above.
That's a scandalous suggestion.
Yeah, I'm not saying that was the voice of Chris Oakley there.
Oh, God. I just want to say it's been fantastic presenting this podcast, and you'll love Gary Andrews next week. Welcome everyone, welcome. You're listening to the Sound of Football podcast, of course. Who else would you be listening to at this time of the day? Chris Oakley here, once again, joined as ever by my two fine colleagues, Terry DeFallon and Graham Sibley. Hello Terry and Graham.
Hello.
Hello Chris.
Here we are once again for the second time in 1 week. As an early reminder, in case you didn't catch it, we did do a bonus podcast for you on Friday night. Of course, if you're used to just sort of going on the web every Tuesday, let's say, or Monday night to pick up our podcast, you may have missed that. So do go on to footballfairground.com and onto iTunes and places like that. You'll find there's our extra little gift for you there. But we're going to concentrate on tonight's show right from the beginning here. We're going to today talk about the only subject in the world of football that's of any going concern, and that's of course the closing of the January transfer window. Indeed, as we speak, there's probably only, 2.5 hours to go. It always manages to generate a frisson of excitement among many people in the football fraternity, people like our good selves, but not everyone is happy about the January transfer window. In fact, I'm quite capable of quoting from the League Managers Association chief, Richard Bevan, who basically has been saying just in the last few days that English football wants to get rid of the January transfer window. Various reasons for that, not least because it puts a lot of pressure onto managers, it kind of tempts clubs into getting rid of managers at this time of the year, and so on and so on and so forth. Lots of issues within that argument to discuss, so let's crack on then. I will start off with you, Graham, this week. So, Richard Bevan, he's basically saying that the transfer window doesn't fulfil its purpose. There's no level playing field, by which I presume he means that the lower clubs don't tend to get where they tend to lose their best players and so on and so forth to the bigger ones. There's no stability. Is it a bit redundant now by this stage in the modern game, Graham?
Yeah, I think it probably is actually. I can't see the point of it being here other than just to give Sky Sports News 2 days of the year when everyone's tuning in. It does seem to be a strange old thing because especially when you've got clubs that that are doing fine don't actually get anyone in the whole window. It's only clubs that are really sort of desperate that are mad chucking the money around, and we've seen some absolute insanity around today. So if this is what it brings out in clubs, then you can't think it's good for the image of the game, because there have been decisions made today that in the cold light of tomorrow morning, there might be a few people going, bloody hell, what have we done?
Yeah, be rubbing the head saying, what on earth were we thinking? Yes, indeed, it does kind of bring out the greed and the bad side of the game, does it not? Not that it hadn't been doing that beforehand anyway. Terry, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it focuses the greed of the game, isn't it? Rather than sort of the greed of the game is always there. I think Graham is referring to the buyer's remorse. I have the buyer's remorse, which was that chap on The Simpsons, wasn't it, when he bought the last Ribwich. I think that's probably going to be Chelsea and Liverpool tomorrow, isn't it? It's like waking up in the morning and saying, man, I want a massive cash binge. God, and then waking up and finding Fernando Torres in your bed or something like that. I mean metaphorically, obviously. I don't mean that, you know, anyone from Chelsea will be waking up with Fernando Torres in their bed physically. You know,
well, I don't know. If you pay 50 million quid for someone, I mean, like, maybe you expect things. I don't know.
You're entitled to do what you like with him.
You're entitled to a lot. Yeah, I'm not so sure. I just don't, I can see why the hoopla is of interest. I mean, there's certainly, you know, people that we know, you know, on Twitter who genuinely seem to revel in it. And then there are people who absolutely hate it, often for the same reasons, because of the hoopla that it generates. But I can't see how it can possibly be, you know, good for anybody who argues for good governance in football cannot think that the transfer window is a good thing, because Graham was just saying, it massively overstates and overrates the value of footballers. I mean, assuming when I found out about Andy Carroll this morning, I genuinely thought it was one of those Twitter jokes that you know, Luciano says that Charlie's been punting around for the last few days about, you know, fake transfer tips in the hope that someone might pick up them. I just couldn't believe that £35 million was any kind of realistic value for any footballer, to be perfectly honest with you. And certainly not someone who's only been playing in the Premier League for a few months. And yet, there it is. And that isn't really his value. It's just that's his value to Liverpool at this precise moment. And it's like, you know, there's a difference between the market and then there's value, and the market at the moment is just so intense because it's so short that, you know, it's almost impossible for anybody to sensibly run a football club, and although it's kind of a lot of fun, I don't think it's in the long term a terribly good idea.
Yeah, and of course all this, Graham, is also in the context of the world being supposedly in some kind of economic crisis, which kind of makes a mockery of that, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but desperate times lead to desperate measures, and I think that's what you've seen is the fact that, you know, Liverpool, all right, you know, they've apparently got their debts cleared, which I'm not sure is entirely correct. and now they're actually thinking, right, okay, we can go and start spending money again, like they'd ever stopped. And I suppose, you know, all that money has come in, and it's, as soon as it's in, it's gone completely out, isn't it? Well, even before it come in, they've not even come in.
Yeah, I know. They haven't even. They've not even sold Torres, and they're already going out spending money that they don't have. I mean, they're like the archetypal student who knows they're getting paid the day after, and they're rushing down the cash machine trying to get some money out, you know, the day before, in the hope that the cash machine will give out some money.
Not that
I have any personal experience with it. Yeah, well, no, because you can, by convincing
in advance. Or
yeah, but why? Well, see, well, it doesn't matter. I won't go over my overdraft limit because I can take the money out, because the money, by the time it clocks over, you know, that my new money will be in, and you've already spent it before it's even bloody arrived. It's just, well, it's just a stupid way to carry on. These are big fat multi-million-pound businesses. I mean, it's just insane, frankly.
It is a bit strange, isn't it, how, you know, Liverpool do appear, in the light of events certainly today and in the month leading up to today, to be the very centre of worldwide football transfer deals, insofar as the minute they make their move and, you know, buy or sell someone, then apparently that can instigate an enormous chain of transfers to follow on in its wake. And, you know, the football around the world just changes overnight, because suddenly all these, it's like dominoes going over. Suddenly, like, you know, one player can move here, then another comes in. And apparently that's all due to Liverpool, which we should all be very grateful for, I think.
They are the grand enablers of everyone's filthy addiction.
Yeah. I mean,
it's all Liverpool's fault.
If J.W. Henry hadn't turned up, then they wouldn't be making any transfers and no one would have been moving today. And that would have been terrible, wouldn't it? Especially for Sky Sports. I mean, they've already had a bad couple of weeks as it is.
It's true. They've had a bad couple of transfer days as well in the past, because I think the last transfer deadline day was very uneventful, because no one was spending anything. Everyone had got their spending out of the way. But no, thanks to this, we've heard some all kinds of shenanigans. To an extent, you know, across the channel with Wolfsburg, who have been going on a bit of a spending binge for various reasons, and Tunchai having left these shores, which again sort of like, you know, unlocks a little bit of extra cash in some way or another. But
it's interesting because it hasn't really been that active. I mean, like, City haven't done anything today. United haven't done anything today. Arsenal haven't done anything today. The only two teams that, even Tottenham have put a bid in for Philip Neville, I think.
That's not stopped out Harry Redknapp from turning up on Sky Sports News, even though he's done nothing.
Oh.
You know, so it wasn't, I'm not doing anything today. Well, we're going to interview you anyway. Do you mind if we doorstop you anyway? Yeah, by all means. You know, be my guest. You know.
Who would you have
bought? He's on Sky Sports News more often than the coming up next ident.
Or that funky swivelly ball thing that they've got going at the moment, which is giving you the countdown. What's that all about? That's really bizarre.
The transfer death ball is revolving in the corner of the...
It's the death ball.
It is all, frankly, for those of you that have listened to our previous podcast from about a year ago or so when we did our football disaster movie, it's just sort of, there's a whole sequence in there. You've got to kind of look for it, basically. But it's just, you know, basically... You know, taking the Mickey out of Sky and the way it deals with all these kind of transfer news things, but it's as we know, is it Jim White?
Jim White,
is it Jim White? Of course it is. Who else?
Yeah, I mean, I managed to catch about 10 minutes of him before we came on air, and already he was kind of, you know, notching up his blood pressure levels incrementally to the point where he's, you know, reaching sort of a complete, you know, mental breakdown. And.
Having said that, I mean, we're sitting here slagging it off like three incredibly grumpy old men.
which we are.
I checked on Twitter, and I noticed that Jim White was trending on Twitter. And I thought, well, I'll have a quick look and see what's going on. And, you know, the tweets that I looked at were pretty much overwhelmingly in favour of him. They love him. And they love it. Yeah. So we're all saying, well, you know, it's no good, you know, no good will come of it. But everyone's having a lovely time. They're like pigs in shit.
Well, I think what it is, I mean, given our mutual respect for Sky Sports, you know, it's this kind of situation of like they already have this immensely kind of crass approach to presenting football and everything that goes on within it. So you sort of, the only way you can get any credibility out of that from Sky's point of view is to bring in someone that can totally subvert it by being completely over the top, and thereby it becomes an anachronism of itself. And that's what I think what Jim White does. I think that's why everyone loves him, because he's just so kind of, I don't know, what can you say? He's just a legend, isn't he, really? He manages to sort of squeeze some element of enjoyability out of it for what there is. And, you know, I don't know. Yeah, one can easily get bored of seeing shots of people being transported by helicopter from one club to another. So you need someone to just kind of like prick the bubble of pomposity about the whole thing, and maybe that's what he does. I think that's probably his purpose.
You think he's being ironic then?
Somebody on Sky must be. I don't know.
I think Sky is completely devoid of irony. No matter what Richard Keys says.
Or does.
But that's how it gets away with it, isn't it? Because I mean, it is like something out of some kind of sort of like, if the, you know, it's you know, we talked about this last time, didn't we? Straight out of Alan Partridge. But it's completely sort of like lacking in any kind of irony. They don't you know, they're loving it, and people love them, so
Perhaps we'll sort of come on to one or two of the, you know, what few eye-raising transfers there have been. We may come on to that shortly. But going back to my original point about there being moves to scrap the whole thing, this fellow, the LME, I don't know if he's the chairman, but he's basically the head of the League Managers Association. He assures us all that the Football League, the Premier League, the FA, the League Managers Association and the Professional Footballers Association all want this scrapped. But of course, the blocking point is FIFA, who have put this all in place.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I'm not quite sure I'll buy that. And the reason why is because I don't know what you think of this, Graham, but my chaps, I think that this has got to be some kind of restraint of some kind of trade. I mean, certainly from a European point of view, if you're a citizen of the European Union, you can go and work anywhere within the Union, you know, at any time, subject to your contract. Now, obviously, the FIFA rules will be written in, I would imagine, to certainly the player's registration and contract. But were somebody to challenge it in the courts, I reckon that there'd be a fairly good chance that it would be seen as unlawful, and then that would be the end of it. But no one up to now has done it. There's no sort of, like, unless there's a Bosman on the horizon, you know, someone who for some reason has lost out massively as a consequence of the window. That's the only time I can see it sort of like being genuinely challenged, because it does seem like an awful lot of hard work and time and money in order to do it.
But you can see FIFA, though, just coming along and saying, excuse me, but we make the rules. You know, if you're a player or you're a club or whatever, then you know that we make the rules. So don't bother arguing. We're the all-seeing kind of eye that makes sure that everyone plays by our rules, and then just throw it out.
If the rules are unlawful, then they can't make the rules. They can't, I mean, if they say, look, you have to steal a can of beans every time before you are allowed to play a game of football. Every player has to go to their local Tesco's and steal a can of beans. It's written into the contract. It's part of the rules. That's part of your registration. You will not get it unless you go into your Tesco and steal a can of beans, and then you have to kick a granny as well on your way out. Okay, so those things are unlawful, and you can't actually make people do that. And so, if it transpires that
you've been reading Andy Carroll's contract.
drafting it, mate. Sorry, I'm a bit late. But my I won't labour my point, because I think I've made my point quite clear. Yes. So
it's utterances like these that make my end of 2011 podcast such a breeze to put together. I suppose what I was ham-fistedly trying to say is that kind of FIFA essentially are above the law, rather annoyingly, so therefore that you can't even sort of get anywhere near in terms of challenging their jurisdiction.
Well,
but there we are.
I mean, there must be some kind of lobby to say that the transfer window is a good idea. I just can't see who is pressing for it to remain there. I can't see what skin it is off FIFA's nose to have it there or not.
Yeah, I'm always puzzled about that. I'm not quite sure why they want it there. Maybe there's something that we're missing. Well, am I saying maybe? There almost certainly is something that we're missing. A few brain cells, apart from anything else. Listeners, this is your time to chime in. Oh, you can't, can you? Because it's pre-recorded. But, I mean, if you want to, you know, tell us once again where we're going wrong, please do. I'm not quite sure. There must be a reason why they feel this is a good idea. If I remember rightly, the idea, I think, was to stop bigger clubs from poaching talented players during the season off smaller clubs. But I don't know how realistic that is as a sort of target, because, you know, it just goes against the whole, you know, it suggests that somehow they're against big clubs, or I don't know how the big clubs would have worn that. And there's just something about it that just isn't. It's false, is what it is. It's false. That's what the thing about the transfer window is. It doesn't seem like a natural point in the football season. In fact, if anything, it's more like an unnatural contrivance, you know, in order to generate excitement.
Well, I think in addition to what you were saying there, Terry, as well, I think wasn't there also this sort of line about, well, it will give clubs the chance, you know, if they get halfway through the season and they're kind of, they've lost a lot of players to injury and so on, and it gives them half a chance to kind of, you know, get some new players in. But of course that's a completely ludicrous concept under the circumstances. Going back to what you were saying earlier on about the sort of financial situation, what's apparent, as is always the case, when you look down the list of players that have changed clubs during the transfer window. Of course, most of them are loan deals rather than outright, or at least more and more so these days due to the aforementioned economic crisis. So it's almost, I don't know, you just, when you actually kind of scratch away and look at the details that are there, you actually sort of see that there are actually very, very few transfers, as we know, that actually go on. But of those that have taken place, are there any particular ones that you think would be quite interesting? Because the first one really that really broke through was the whole Darren Bent thing, which was nearly 2 weeks ago now, Sunderland to Villa, and that raised a few eyebrows in terms of, you know, what his actual value may be. Supposedly Aston Villa snapped him up for 18 million, possibly rising to 24. And then as we speak, I dare say, there's all this hullabaloo going on with regards to Carroll going from Newcastle to Liverpool. And all I've seen on Twitter all day is people sort of saying, well, if he's worth, you know, £35 million, then that must make me worth, you know,
blah, blah,
£24.50 or whatever, you know. So, yeah, it is all a bit of a sort of contrivance. But, in view of what we're just saying, I can't see the LMA kind of changing anything really, and there is definitely an angle on this. That it sounds like this guy. What was his name again? What did I say his name again? Oh, Richard Bevan. Sounds like he's got a bit of an anti-FIFA agenda going on anyway. So maybe
who hasn't? I'm just looking down here at some of the more amusing and interesting names here. That's the sort of situation state I'm in. I noticed that Willie Gibson has transferred to Crawley. It's good to see the author of Neuromancer. You know, still. Still getting it in there. Robbie Williams, of course, has gone to Rochdale. You know, and Joel Garner as well. Fantastic. He's now a Scunthorpe player. Who'd have thought that the old man, and indeed there's a fellow called Mauro Formica, which makes me chuckle because Formica makes me laugh. It just does. I walk into a calf, I see Formica, I laugh.
As someone said on Twitter not so long ago, I think Blackburn just got him in to sort of do up the dressing room, I think, yes. yes, I'm just looking down. I mean, Paul Konchesky today went from Liverpool to Nottingham Forest on loan, needless to say. So I think that's the other thing as well. Sorry, coming full circle back to Liverpool again. A few people have commented today on Twitter about the fact that Liverpool seem to be getting shot of supposedly good players like Torres and bringing in not so good ones like, I'm just trying to sort of think, well, maybe arguably Andy Carroll, I'm not sure by comparison, but I don't think that holds any sort of water because they've just brought in Luis Suarez earlier on from Ajax, so I think that's their
killer signing for me. Suarez is a world-class player in my opinion. I really don't know about Carroll at all. There's a whiff of Peter Crouch about that one. Not convinced that's a good one.
I mean, like it's going to raise a few eyebrows because, well, he's English, so he can't be that good.
Yes, there is that. Yeah,
and I think it's because they got rid of Babel as well, didn't they?
Yeah, he went to Hoffenheim a few days ago.
Yeah, and you sort of think, well, they've got Suarez and they've got Carroll now. Are they going to play 4-4-2? So it's changing the way that it's. This is Kenny Dalglish stamping his own mark on the club.
I'm wondering about that. I mean, are we looking at then Liverpool playing 4-4-2? Is that what we're? Is Charlie Adam there or is he on his way? Or what's
everyone's
the situation
saying
with
that he is on his way? So.
Yeah. What do you mean, physically on his way or in a kind of, you know, sort of like
I'm,
in a, tra- I'm, in a transfer?
I'm not outside there, am I? I'm actually sat.
Why not?
Half of Sky Sports is.
Yeah, there wasn't enough of the car park.
Does no one have the television on?
I've got Transfer Centre on at the moment on my screen, and it's telling me that El Hadj Diouf is poised for to go to Rangers.
When you say poised, is he actually physically poised?
He is
like hanging over something?
Poised. Is he looming? Looming over Glasgow?
Looming over right something like a metaphorical cat over a petrified mouse. Poised to, you know, swoop, I suppose.
He's poised like a lamp. That's how he is.
In an angular
fashion.
Waiting to snap someone's shins with a swift blow. Of
and gobbing their face.
Yes. And say, fuck your legs. There you go.
I think you'll do well in Glasgow. What do you reckon?
We're on the radio now. I can't say things like that anymore, can I?
Forgot we're on the radio. More of which later. Yes. Thrilling news to bring you. Yes, Emmanuel Adebayor. He's finally left the country on loan. He's gone off to Real Madrid. How do we think he'll do there? Is he likely to find a niche? Because if I remember right, he when Adebayor turns up at a new club, he does tend to do quite well in the first instance. So, what do you reckon, Graham? As an Arsenal supporter, someone who's seen plenty of Adebayor over the years, what do you reckon on that?
I should think he'll do okay there. I mean, he came on very, very briefly, didn't he, in the rather sort of surprising defeat to Osasuna last night. Mm. But he's a proven goal scorer, and like he'll certainly try for at least the first few games anyway, and then might get bored, I suppose, and then. Just disappear onto the bench, won't he, with Benzema and you know, anyone else they've got up front at the moment.
Well, it's the thing, isn't it? It's between him and Benzema at the moment, isn't it? Because Higuain is not playing, so because he's injured. So that's kind of why he's in there. So it's either him or Benzema. I don't know. I mean, I don't really watch enough Spanish football to really know how he'd fit in there, but apart from the fact that he is clearly a very good player. But yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with Graham's somewhat sort of caustic assessment, understandably, of his you know, his sort of maybe his commitment and his, or dare I say, his professionalism at times. He's proven to be fairly sort of like weird like that. But I don't know whether or not you know, this he'll see this as a new lease of life and a great opportunity to play for, you know, all the biggest club in the world. And if he can make it work there, then, you know, then the world is his.
I think if I was the owner of a small business in Spain, I'd start stocking up on plastic garden chairs. I think that'd be my best advice.
Can I just offer a couple of decent nuggets? One is obviously Tunçay, aforementioned to Wolfsburg, I think is a cracking signing for Wolfsburg. Wolfsburg have also signed Bayer Leverkusen's Patrick Helmes, who is, well, I mean, he was out injured for quite some time and he's just sort of struggled-ish to get back into the side with Kiesling and Dirdjok and Arturo Vidal at Leverkusen. But he is a goal machine, in my opinion. A German international and a fine, fine player. Would have been in the World Cup more had it not been for the injury problems that he's had. And also, finally, a player that Graham and I will have seen before, Thomas Heinel. Graham, I don't know whether you remember him, a Hungarian fellow who from Borussia Dortmund. We went and saw them play Stuttgart a couple of years ago, and he was probably one of Dortmund's best players in what was a 3-0 win. He scored an absolute cracking goal. He's sort of gone off the boil somewhat and has been out of favour since Jurgen Klopp arrived, or not long after Jurgen Klopp arrived, and he's actually moved to Stuttgart on loan and they're in deep trouble. So that's an interesting signing if he can rediscover his form from a few years ago. So just a little bit of, you know, extra sort of, you know, Bundesliga intrigue.
Yeah, we were talking just before we came on air and you were saying that it's generally all very kind of quite and civilised and well-organised over in the German transfer market, isn't it?
Yeah, apart from Wolfsburg, who, you know, are a bit... because they've got money to spend and they've got problems and they need to, in their opinion, they need to expand their squad and they can't wait till summer.
I mean, and very quickly, just where I sort of follow a bit of French football, it seems to be a lot of kind of almost deals in terms of French clubs possibly getting involved with deals with English clubs. The main one really today for me being Dimitri Payet, who's a top scorer for sort of Saint-Étienne, who's a big name early on in the season, kind of gone a little bit off the boil now, but there were rumours that he might be going to Chelsea. Then they were saying he might go to Paris Saint-Germain, and I don't think he's gone to either so far.
Yeah, I saw those rumours. Well, I saw someone tweet about it, put it that way. I don't know whether that classes as a rumour, but mentioned Dimitri Payet in your previous Je de Jour podcast. That,
indeed.
The ones that at least I've been listening to.
Quite, yes. Stéphane Sessegnon gone to Sunderland. That's one French player that's crossed the channel. But anyway, that's all by the by. I think we're rapidly running out of time, chaps, so we should draw a line under matters. So there we are. Thank you very much indeed for listening. Hope that's given you the best possible compliment to transfer deadline day. Just to say, we alluded to this earlier on somewhat cryptically, but we are now appearing on Net Radio UK, along with many other people playing music and, you know, basically doing sort of spoken word chat shows and things. So you know, if you fancy a bit of that, get along to Net Radio UK, where our show is the one you're listening to now. Will go out as we will always be doing on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock in the evening, if you fancy listening back to us again. But there we are, just a quick plug there, Net Radio UK, that's that done. And also, as we always do our stuff at the end where we tell you about where you can contact us, footballfairground.com, etc., 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 we always plug our Facebook fan page. And I'm pleased to say someone has done just that. This could be a first. Albert Ross in Australia. He left us a comment after last week's show. Thank you very much indeed for contacting us, Albert.
Albert Ross.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's a kind of Monty Python reference in there. Not sure quite to what extent that's a deliberate jokey name or not. It could be just some poor fella. Albert, do get in touch. But, you know, if your life is being blighted by, you know, Monty Python fans going, Albert Ross, then, yeah, we can only sympathise. But Albert did actually give us his view with regards to Sydney Olympic Stadium. And he said because athletics isn't very much loved over there. They just ripped the athletics track out, and now it's used for football and rugby and stuff like that. And unfortunately, I had to sort of tell him that, it's not quite going to be as easy as that over here. But I think the Olympic Stadium in Stratford is going to have to keep its track. But there we are. Anyway, that's it. Thank you very much, Dee, for listening. As I said, do join us again next week. I don't think we'll be planning any more sort of bonus podcasts in the near future, so it's back to the normal routine. Do join us again next week. For now, from Terry, Graham and myself, it's goodbye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
If you'd like to contact the show, you can do so via our website, footballfairground.com/soundoffootball. Alternatively, we're on Twitter at twitter.com/soundoffootball, and we're on Facebook at facebook.com/soundoffootball.